Now that we made some money for our sponsors, let's go back to making the liberals crazy. The Handman is back on the radio right now.
Peace in a blanket, fried like bacon. Peace in a blanket, fried like bacon. Peace in a blanket, fried like bacon. Peace in a blanket, fried like bacon.
White baby. The less baby white babies on this planet, on the less
hand
of you we got, boo.
The blood is on
I
your
hope they kill
hand
all the white babies. Kill them all right now. Yeah. Kill them. Kill your grandkids. Kill yourself. Coffin, bitch. Go lay in the coffin.
Wow. Wow. You know, folks, it's John the Gillum filling in for Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. That is a perfect example. You know, listen, I come on this show a lot and all the different shows that I fill in host for, and I tell my resume. I don't do it because I have an ego. There's not an ounce of ego in here. I do everything that I've done for this country because I love this country. I love the freedom. I love the Constitution. I love what we went through to get to this point. I wish that nobody would have ever suffered, but we had slaves in this country, and they, because of the Constitution, we're able to, their legacy is what we live on now because of the price that they paid. We are, everyone is free. I can't understand why people don't get it. At least I didn't for a long time. And then I started realizing that the majority of people that are angry in this country now based on race has very little to do with racism. And it has more to do with, believe it or not, and I know there's going to be people that disagree with me on this, but the reality is it doesn't come down to daily oppression. It comes down to daily indoctrination from the mainstream media and groups like Black Lives Matter that ultimately, when you dig into their background, have communistic ties. And I just happen... I know he's a friend of the Hannity Show already, but somebody gave me a contact last week that I was looking for somebody to talk about Black Lives Matter because I don't like digging into this stuff unless I know everything that there is to know about it, and that I just don't know the background of this group. So it's interesting because Lauren and myself both were thinking who we could bring on, and I just talked to Dr. Ron Martinelli last week. The more I learn about Dr. Ron, the more I'm so glad that he's my contact for this because not only is he an attorney, but he's also a former San Jose police detective. He is an expert in forensic services and an all-around in-depth expert, which he wrote a book about it, Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Doctor, I couldn't think of anybody else to come on here and talk about this. The more I look at your qualifications, the question I have for you is there, Doctor, is Black Lives Matter steeped in communism to the point where it's starting to look like they are, like the rest of these groups, Antifa and the other groups?
Well, first, Jonathan, thank you so much for having me on my program and on your program. And for full disclosure, listen, I'm not an attorney, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn once.
I thought you were an attorney for some strange reason.
No.
Okay, you just went up a level. You just went up a level in my eyes.
Hey, listen, to answer your question specifically, the black, and I've traced the Black Lives Matter to their roots. I've spoken with the actual real founding members of the Black Lives Matter movement. It's so interesting that I'm seeing a lot of people on television claiming to be a founding member. They are not. The founding members are Patrice Cullors, Opal Tomati, and Alicia Garza. And they are from a combination of New York City and Berkeley, California, out there in the People's Republic. They are the people that started Black Lives Matter back in 2014 as a result of two things. Number one, the self-defense shooting, George Zimmerman, and also later Michael Brown, which was an officer-involved shooting. Specifically, I've traced them to different parts of the world. I've done completely vetted research, all in the book, and they are a militant Marxist organization. That gets funding from a variety of sources. One of the biggest funding sources is George Soros and some of the sub-funding groups he has, because he's kind of a secretive guy, but backs a number of socialist, anarchist, and revolutionary groups throughout the world. And their treatise goes back to the Black guerrilla family, the Black nationalist movement of the 60s, the police killers from the 60s and 70s. It's a very anti-law enforcement, anti-democratic government, militant Marxist group, without a doubt, even if you read their own doctrines.
So I think people are going to be very surprised in hearing this. So you have these three individuals that started this. How did they get to a point? Of course, funding always has something to do with it. How did they get to the point where they are as big as they are? Was it because they were able to quickly go in and stir up the, obviously they're not telling everybody that they're Marxists. Were they able to go into these, community activists? Did they link up with people like the Saul Alinskyites? What exactly did they do to spread so quickly?
Well, I think the primary reason that they spread is because, first of all, these three women are all extremely intelligent. They all have master's degrees. One has a master's degree in communication, and social media has really helped them. That's how the group really sprung into life, by a text on Instagram, and also on Facebook from one of the founding members to two of the other founding members, after the George Zimmerman shooting. And they said, one of the comments that was made is Black Lives Matter. And then they went ahead and put a hashtag to that, and subsequently used their communications and social media skills to start an organization. And then that organization spread to different parts of the country in various chapters. But those people that say that they're founding members are not telling the truth. I think everybody's trying to, claim a little bit of notoriety by saying that. And by the way, the thing that's very interesting about Alicia, Opal, and Patrice is that you almost never see them on television opining about anything. However, they go out to community meetings. There is another lady who is a professor at Cal State Los Angeles, and her name is Professor Abdullah, and she is very prominent in the Los Angeles activist community, and she's very much against law enforcement and people in the corrections field, and she's constantly advocating for them. And as a matter of fact, I think she is involved in the Human Relations Commission for the County of Los Angeles. So these people are very active, but they get other people to do their work for them.
Right. Right. No, I'm just Graham agreeing with you. So in saying that, you know, that they do get other people to do their work for them, where do they reside? How do people start to focus in on these three individuals?
Well, you know, let me say this, because there are so many people, and primarily the mainstream media, knows nothing about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And they think it's a socially conscious group that are there to provide, community oversight to law enforcement. And really, that's not the goal of this organization, to provide oversight or anything. And the way the organization breaks down is that there are the founding members, and then there are people that are chairs or chapter presidents, and then the rest of the people are basically just anybody that would support or encourage Black Lives Matter, and that could be anybody. Mm-hmm. But the Black Lives Matter is a black nationalist Marxist organization. And there's no doubt about it. And if you listen to their lectures, you don't have to pay, believe me. All you have to do is start doing some internet research and listen to their videos, watch their videos, watch their television and listen to their radio interviews, get on their websites and see what they're all about. There is absolutely no doubt. And I call it, with regards to law enforcement, the four D's. They want to disenfranchise and disassociate law enforcement from the mainstream community, and then they want to defund law enforcement, and they want to dissolve law enforcement. So I call it the four D's, and if you watch everything that they're doing, they do not want to participate in remedies to bring the community and law enforcement closer together.
Right.
They want to completely defund it. And if you go into Black Lives Matter, they have all you have to do is Google Campaign Zero, and I write about all of this in my book. You can see the 10 objectives of the Black Lives Matter movement with respect to law enforcement, and almost all of it is negative. There was only a couple of things that I agreed with out of the 10.
What was the second? You said disenfranchise, defund, dissolve. I'm missing one of the D's.
Let's see. Disenfranchise, disassociate, defund, and dissolve.
Yeah. Interesting.
So they need to separate the community from law enforcement, right?
Yeah.
If you're gonna and how they do that is with a lot of fake news. I wrote about many cases, the Michael Brown case, Tamir Rice, which was a case that I personally was involved in. Freddie Gray, there's been a number of cases, and they put out a lot of fake news about how law enforcement has responded to those things, and they get people believing in the Black Lives Matter movement. And let me tell you something. It has nothing to do with all black lives, only certain black lives. For instance, all of the shooting deaths in Chicago, they could care less about it. You never see them protesting. You never see them marching. It's never about, black lives in the black community. It's only certain black suspects' lives that they care about. And again, anything to separate the community from law enforcement.
Do you think, and we got about a minute and a half left, do you think that similarly to all these other communist groups that try to divvy up and dissect the country into different agitators, do you think that these people truly understand the way communism works, that they will be the first ones killed if there was ever a communist government in this country?
No, here's the problem that we have nationwide with Americans. They don't teach civics in school anymore. They haven't done that for years. Okay, so nobody knows what their rights are, how their government was founded, how the government works. They don't know anything about law enforcement, how law enforcement or the criminal justice system works. Mm-hmm. Number two, they have no history. They don't teach history anymore, so there's no context to what we remember as the black church, which were the fascists, and the brown church, which were the National Socialists or the Nazis, or they don't know anything about communism. So these people gravitate towards these organizations for what they refer to as social justice.
Right.
And it's very vague and ambiguous as to what social justice is. But all you have to do is watch what they do and listen to what they say.
Yep.
And these people are communists, anarchists, national socialists and fascists.
Got to go.
There is no doubt.
Got to go, doctor. Thank you very much. I sure do appreciate it. I'll tell more. Dr. Ron Martinelli, I can't thank you enough. We're going to go to a break right now. We got a hard break coming up. We'll be right back on the Sean Hannity Radio Show.